That's right.
Okay, so whenever you're ready, Brian.
All right, my name is Brian Ashwood. Today is April 27th, 2011, and I'm interviewing Jan Thomas for the Cuyahoga Valley Agricultural Project. Jan, just for the record, if you just state your name, spell it for us, and then just tell us just a little bit something about yourself, where you were born, when you were born, and where you live now.
My name is Janet Thomas. I live in Cuyahoga Falls. I was born on Wheatley Road in Boston Township. And my grandfather, great-grandfather, bought the property, the farm, in 1880. It's on Wheatley Road, Richfield Township.
And when were you born, about?
1941.
And were you born here, or did you move here?
No, I was born and raised on Wheatley Road in Boston Township.
You have a memory from the early farm?
Or? Lots of memories.
Just tell us just a little one here.
Okay. My grandfather inherited the farm after his father died. He farmed approximately 100 acres. They raised corn, hay, and cattle. He milked his cows and sent the milk to Akron Pure Milk in Akron, Ohio. I can remember vividly taking the cows in, snapping them in the stanchions, and milking. And if the cats got in the way, they got squirted with milk. And when we were little, he would say, "Open your mouth," and he would try and squirt milk into our mouth as he was milking. I have lots and lots of good memories. I remember when I was very small, they had horses that did the plowing and pulled the wagons and when they made hay. And then in 1946, we got a John Deere tractor, the envy of the valley. And then a few years later, they got a baler to make hay. There was a lot of hay, a lot of hard work, because at first it was all on a wagon with a pitchfork.
Did they grow anything else besides hay? Or?
We grew corn.
Corn?
Yes. And then we had a huge garden that fed three families. My aunt and uncle, our family of seven, and my grandparents, and my uncle and his wife and child lived with them. So we had a huge garden. We did not buy anything from the store. Everything was canned, and then later on we got a freezer and everything. All the meat, we had pigs, chickens, cows.
And where did you guys sell the corn?
The corn was sold to Medina Supply.
So you guys were self-sufficient? Right?
Self-sufficient. So the only thing we bought was toilet paper.
And I know you mentioned the hay baler and the tractor. Were there any other kind of technologies or techniques that you guys used or anything special that you guys did? Or?
No, because we tedded the hay. When we made hay, you cut it with I can't remember the name of the bar, the cutter bar, first behind horses and then behind the tractor. And then we tedded the hay, and then it was baled. And the corn, we picked the corn by hand.
And so I'm assuming you learned from your grandfather and your father-in-law. How did they learn about farming?
My grandfather learned from his father, who originally bought the land. So it's been in the family all those years since 1880.
Can you tell us anything about the Cuyahoga Valley itself, just as a place? I mean, is there somewhere special on your property, or that brings back memories?
We used to have a spring that we got water from, and the spring was run down in wooden pipes at first, and then we replaced it with metal pipes. And that put the water to two families, to two homes. And we had a little creek across the street that we used to go swimming in, and there was a clay bank on it, and we slid down the clay bank into the water. And then we would sometimes walk down to the covered bridge and play under the bridge.
And is the house that you grew up in, is that still there? Or?
No, the park demolished it.
Can you tell us something about that? Or how was it, did they just take it over?
They took it over. They didn't give our family much choice about selling. They just told us we had to sell. Same thing with my grandmother and her house in the barn, which was made of oak. They just brought a bulldozer in and demolished everything. Said it wasn't of historical interest. And we've been there since 1880. And I think my house, the house I lived in, was built around 1890, between 1890 and 1895.
Could you describe just a typical day when you were growing up on the farm?
Sure.
Was there any such thing as a typical day?
A typical day was, I was the oldest of five, so my job was to help feed the little ones. And then every morning we went out and worked in the garden in the summertime, pulled weeds, and we'd run up to Grandma's, and by that time my grandfather would be almost done milking. And we'd play in the barn, play in the hay bales and all that. And then he would take us for a ride on the horses, or we'd help feed the pigs and the chickens and gather eggs. And that was a typical day, a typical farm day. I might mention that when I was very young, we did not have electricity. We didn't get electricity until I started school, 1946. So we had kerosene lamps, wood stoves. At night in the winter, we would heat bricks on the wood, on the coal stove, wrap them in paper and put them in bed to warm the beds, because there was no heat in the upstairs, no central heat. I can take family history all the way back to 1812,
okay,
when my great-great-great-grandfather was the first marriage in Boston Township. His name was William Carter, and he married Elizabeth Mays, and she was the first white woman to make a break in Richfield Township, and that's when they break a stick and light a fire. She and her father came from Pennsylvania with a sack of flour, and that's about it, and some sugar, and that's about it. And he came from Ireland, my great-great-grandfather. He fought in the War of 1812. He wasn't in long enough to get a pension. She didn't get a pension because he was like 15 days short of the time for pensions. But we've always lived here. We've always lived in Boston Township or Richfield Township. The next grandfather worked the quarries and had canal boats. And then my great-grandfather is the one that bought the property on Wheatley Road and started the farm. And he also worked on the canal boats when he was young.
Are there any stories that have been passed down about canal boats or anything you can share?
Oh, sure. They used to talk about my uncle, my great-great-uncle, also lived on the lock up at Ira. It's near the Beaver Pond. So he ran that lock. And they used to talk about getting on the horse in the cart and going up there to the lock and watching the people go through and the boats go through. My grandfather was full of stories like that. It was a fun time. We didn't have any conveniences to speak of, but we had a good life. It was fun. Everybody was close. Everybody knew everybody. We all went to church in Everett, to the Everett Church of Christ. And my aunt owned Carter's store in Everett, Maud Carter. So we've been around here for a long time.
Can you tell us about the store?
The store was a fun place because you could go around in a circle. When you go in the front door off the porch, there was the store. And then at the back of the store was a door that went into the living quarters. And then when you go all the way through the house, you come back into the store in the front of the store. So when we were little, we'd go down and she'd give us penny candy and we could run around through the circle. It was fun.
Do you remember any stories of interactions with customers, or did you help out in the store?
No, we didn't help out, but we knew everybody that came in there because everybody knew everybody. I mean, it was really you talk about close-knit, it was very close.
Do you remember what was sold in the store?
Everything, from meat to sugar and flour and penny candies. And she had a little bit of dry goods like, gloves and overalls for men, but no dresses or anything like that.
The history of the store, were you the first family to work the store, or was it something else before?
No, before that it was Harrington's. But I was not alive then.
And was that the same kind of, like, a general store?
Yes, a general store.
Can you describe the house and the property for us? Kind of give, like, a visual descriptive sense.
Where I lived?
Yes.
It was a two-story house. There was a living room, a dining room, and a kitchen. And until I was in probably sixth grade, we had no bathroom. We had an outhouse, which was fun. And there was a basement that had a root cellar where we put all our potatoes and parsnips and all the good stuff, carrots, over the winter. And then upstairs, and there was one bedroom on the first floor. And then upstairs, there were two bedrooms, and all five of us. My brother had his own room, and all four girls shared the other room. Typical. It was just a house. Just a farmhouse.
Did you have a favorite place in the house?
Probably the kitchen. I like to cook. And I like to bake, so I used to do a lot of cooking.
And how about the property beyond the house?
My mom and dad, their property was only a couple acres, but my grandmother and grandfather had the over 100 acres. So, I mean, it was connecting. So we would run up and down, and we had a strawberry patch along the road going from our house to theirs. It's a quarter of a mile from our driveway to theirs. And we had currant bushes and grapes, and so we could, we could pick our own.
Did you have a lot of neighborhood friends when you were younger?
There were no other houses. There was one other house on our street we couldn't walk anywhere that far when we were little until we started to drive. So we were kind of isolated.
So did you go to school in Everett?
I went to school in Boston Township High School. Boston Township School's right up here on Emerson and Bronson. We rode the bus. We were the first ones on and the last ones off. Every day, we were the first ones on, last ones off. And that's how we got to school all the way through, from the time I went to first grade till I graduated.
Do you have any special memories from school?
Oh, lots. We still have in fact, we're having a reunion this year, our class, four classes, because my class had 23 people in it. We were a big class. Two classes ahead of us, there were seven.
Do
So when we have reunions, we have to have more than one class. But we've kept in touch, so many of us, probably over half of my class still gets together. And we get together with other people in other classes, so we've still maintained that, all those ties that we had from high school, grade school. Also, because we went to school with those kids from the time we started to school until we graduated. There were very few outsiders that came into this community.
Can you tell us, do you have any stories about what you did for fun?
Don't want to know. We had dances. I mean, we were considered by many a hick school, I suppose, but we had dances and we had picnics and we had hay rides. Hay rides were great fun. We had a farmer up on Oak Hill that would load his wagon full of hay, pull us all around the whole township. And then we would go back and have a bonfire. So we had lots of fun. We had dances and we had drag races. And I didn't say that. You can edit that out.
Was there something special about being in the Cuyahoga Valley as a kid? What did you like most?
The fact I liked the most was it was quiet. And it was peaceful, and you know, you had your animals and your pets, and you could walk and you pick blackberries and go climb up on the hill. That there was a flat spot up on top, and we used to say that was the top of the world when we were little. And we climb up there and have to watch out because the pig lot was right next door to that. So, but we had a great time. We ride Grandpa's horses and. And then when I got in high school, we had all the dances and the hay rides, and so we had a good time.
So your grandparents, were they on your mother's or your father's side?
My mother's side.
So was your father from the area?
He was born in Hinckley.
Where is that?
It's Medina County.
And was he from a farming background?
Not really, but he worked on farms when he was young. He worked for other people.
And how about, did you have kids?
Yeah, I have kids.
And have they stayed around the area?
They're in Medina, my one son is, and the other one just moved to North Carolina 3 years ago.
And what was it like to raise a family here?
It was fun. They had a good time. We lived in Beth at that time when my kids were growing up. So they went to Revere, which is... It used to be a rival of Boston, of my high school. Revere was that was a big rivalry. But we still were rural, and he now lives in Medina County, and he has 7 acres and horses and a pond. So we've stayed kind of rural.
So when did the area, more people start moving into the area? When did you have... neighbors.
When the park took over, it changed from, you know, just a sleepy little burg to people on Saturdays and Sundays, you can't get through this town because of people on the bikes, on the towpath, riding the train. It's changed dramatically.
As far as you said, you had the John Deere tractor. can you tell us a little more about that and what that, you know, that moment was, how that changed?
Well, it changed everything because they worked for days and days and days pitching hay. I mean, my grandmother, my grandfather, my father, my uncle, even we did as children. I mean, we couldn't do a whole bunch, but we'd be on the wagon and we'd move the hay forward. Because the horses would pull the wagon and they'd throw it on the back and then we would move it forward. So then when the baler came, the tractor came, and then the baler, it spit out those bales, you know, and we could just pick the bales up and put them on the wagon. There was no hours and hours and hours of pitching hay.
Did you have a favorite chore or responsibility on the farm?
I liked all of it. I liked that kind of life. I liked having my own garden and raising my own food. And, you know, we would butcher in the fall, we'd butcher cows. And at that time, we used to can the meat. You'd grind it up and you'd can it. Because there wasn't refrigeration. Then later we got a locker. They used to have big lockers that you could rent out space in up in Richfield, and we'd put the meat up there. But before that, we canned all that meat. What you didn't eat fresh had to be canned, or it would, you know, it would spoil. And we'd kill chickens every week and pick the feathers out of them. But it was a good life. It was truly a good life. Simple life, but a good life.
Can you tell us about your mother? What was she like?
My mom was, when she was young, she worked really hard on the farm because my uncle was younger than she was. Therefore, somebody had to do the work. And when you have a farm, you have cows to milk every morning, you have chickens to feed, you have lambs to feed, you have everything to do, you have horses to take care of. So there's a lot of work on a farm. And my mom worked very hard. And then later she went to secretarial school and became a secretary. And that's what she did until she had a stroke.
Did your father have another job in addition?
My father was a truck driver, a long-distance truck driver, so he was not home a whole lot. So therefore, the responsibility of the family was with me and my mother.
And what was that like?
With those four younger siblings? It was different. But that's how you learn to be a mother, I guess, taking care of the other kids.
Can you tell us about some of the local businesses
that were there? Well, in Everett, there was the store and the post office.
And that was it?
That was it. And the church. Everybody went to church on Sunday. Everybody went to Aunt Mutt's store and bought their food. And Kepner's had a store, too, but they had the post office. And then when that burned, the post office moved to Carter's store. That was it.
So is that between the store and your garden, I mean, did you need to go anywhere else for anything?
No, we made soap. We boiled all that stuff and made soap outside. The only thing we ever bought was was toilet paper. We didn't use paper towels. You used a towel and you used a washing machine and you hung them out and they dried and you used them again. So you had wash day every Monday. Every Monday you wash clothes. That was gospel. And Tuesday you ironed. All day long you ironed clothes. No permanent press. No dryers. You hung them on a line and they got dry. And winter, summer, no matter when. In the winter they'd freeze dry. And the towels would be fluffy, better than a dryer, because they would freeze first, and then the wind would fluff them up.
So how did getting electricity change everything?
Well, first of all, we didn't have the oil lamps and the mantles that they had on the gas lights. If you touched them, they'd go pfft. I don't know if you ever saw one. And you know how they go. They just disintegrate. We had one big one of those. And then we had kerosene lamps all over. And then we got a furnace, so we didn't have to haul wood and coal and build a fire every day. before that, we actually had fuel, space heaters. And then we got a furnace. And we got a refrigerator. And we got an electric stove. So electricity was a big deal. Bigger than you think.
And so you mentioned that you spend a lot of time in the kitchen cooking.
I love to cook, yeah. Still do.
What were some of your favorite things that you
cooked? I used to make biscuits every day and cakes and pies. My grandmother and my aunt taught me how to make pies and bake cookies. I was the cook for everybody. I learned how to make beef roast and fried chicken. It was fun.
Was your family a part of the Grange or any of those?
No, we weren't part of the Grange. We were just part of the church.
Okay. And can you describe the church for me? I know it's still standing, correct?
But yes, it's a lot bigger now. It used to be a little church. There was an original church there that burned, and then the families in Everett, including my great-grandfather, who donated a lot of money. It was a wonderful little church. We had downstairs, you had the little kids. Then when you got to be in seventh grade, you could go upstairs, yay, into the real church. But you sat in the back, and you in the back two pews on the left-hand side were the high school kids sat, and then the rest of them all sat forward. But, I mean, there were only probably 50 people in the whole community. So everybody knew everybody. But you graduated. You started downstairs and you came upstairs.
Can you tell us a little more what the structure looked like, the older church?
The church had beautiful wood pews. It didn't have the pulpit like it has now. It just had a plain pulpit, just a plain wooden, what do you call that? I can see it. It was wood and it had a little light on it, and the preacher stood behind it. And it was open underneath where he put his feet.
Like a podium?
But like a podium. That's the word. Yay. But that's all it was. And we had two chairs where the elders and the deacons sat. And we did communion every week. It was grape juice and little oyster crackers. That's what we had for communion. And we had a pump organ, a small one that the Hazel Osborne played. And at one time we also had a piano up there. Very simple. Just wooden pews and a pulpit. It was a country church. Now they have stained glass windows and electric guitars. All that stuff.
So was the church the central kind of community
yes.
organizing or participation in community events?
Yes, because they had penny suppers earlier when my aunt was young and my mom. They used to have penny suppers and they had cookouts all the time. All that. They made quilts. They had the ladies' aid. They made quilts. And they also sold those quilts, and they supported an orphanage in Cleveland. And a big thing they did was sell Jell-O. And I can't understand that, but that was one of the things they sold was Jell-O.
Do you remember the name of the orphanage?
I can't remember the name of it. And I asked my aunt, and she said, well, I'll have to think about it. But she's 91, so long time ago.
Now, I've heard that there were just dances in the road.
In the street,
yes.
Street dances.
Can you tell us about those?
It was just Hazel and Dewey Osborne. He played the drums and she played the piano, and they were sometimes up on a hay wagon, and it was just fun. I mean, like on Little House in the Prairie, that's whatever it was.
And who would come to the street dance?
Everybody in Everett. Everybody. Little kids, big kids, medium kids, and older people. have to remember there were, like I said, less than 50 people. So when we had a street dance, everybody came. And some of the people from Peninsula would come too.
And did people from Everett attend the dances or square dances and stuff in Peninsula?
Yes, yes.
Can you tell us about that?
We used to do square dances at the GAR Hall and over at the Old Town Hall on Saturday nights. They were just fun. I mean, nobody did anything wrong. They had little punch, no alcohol in it. It was just good fun.
Now, switching topics here, were there any challenges to either the farm or just that you remember from growing up that your family faced?
Just having enough to survive, because when my father had an accident and didn't work for 7 years, it was very tough for us, for our family. But my mother worked, and the farm supported us. If it hadn't been for the farm and my grandparents, so we had milk, we had eggs, we had vegetables, and we had meat. So we were actually self-sufficient. That was the challenge right there. It was just trying to keep yourself going.
Were there any specific problems with pests or flooding or deer?
Not at those days, because you were able to shoot deer for meat, and that's what we did. I mean, you know, if you got two deer, you made jerky, you made sausage, you made venison steaks. And that's when we had the locker up in Richfield so we could freeze them. But earlier, we canned them just like everything else.
I don't have any more specific questions, but part of what we're trying to gather are just family memories and stories. So, I mean, there's probably things I'm not asking that you remember that you could. Any stories about being a child in the valley or on a farm?
It was just a good life. That's how it sums up. I mean, everybody knew everybody. There were no problems. So we never locked a door. I don't think we had a key to our house. It didn't have a lock. It had a doorknob and no keys. You never locked anything. And it was a fun time. You know, we worked hard. We worked hard in the gardens, and I was the oldest, like I said. And so I had the kids, little kids, to look after. And nowadays, you know, nobody knows how to wash clothes by hand or with a Maytag washer. Nobody knows how to hang them out to dry. They don't even know what a clothesline is. That's what we had, and we had a lot of fun picking berries. There was and nuts. We gathered nuts. Grandpa had walnuts, black walnuts, hickory nuts, and butternuts. So we would go up and pick those up and crack them, use them in cooking. We had a good life.
Did you ever get in trouble for doing anything mischievous as a child?
Not me. Of course I did, didn't you?
Of course.
Not bad things, just, you know, things my parents didn't approve of. When you're the oldest, you know, if the little kids do something wrong, it's your fault.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Do you have any more questions you thought of? Did you remember anything else about the canal boats? We don't have a lot of information about that from anything you learned from your
just
grandparents.
That my grandfather said they were flat. And, you know, as a child, he played on them. I wasn't born. I wasn't around when they were around. But my uncle, who lived on the lock, Grandpa used to go up there with him. He and his father, and they would walk, they would lead the mules down the towpath. That's how they got from here to there, was with mules pulling them. And the locks would raise and lower, the water would raise and lower to keep them going. They were always flat, and they even had a place on it where they cooked.
On the boat?
On the boat. Because he said something about Aunt Susan used to make good stews for the passengers on the boat. But I don't know if that's true, but that's what he said. And you don't disagree with your grandfather, you know.
So what were the major changes that you saw over time?
Locks on your doors, vandalism, people steal things, break-ins, robberies, no respect, less respect. We did not call any neighbor or any person older than us by their first name. It was Mr. and Mrs. But I think respect has gone out the window.
The self-sufficiency
is gone. I mean, how many people could survive today? They don't know how to plant a garden or kill a deer or butcher a cow or a pig or kill a chicken, or they probably wouldn't even know how to gather eggs. And it's just a different world.
Were you able to teach your children any of that?
Yeah, because the farm was still going. Not as much, and it was near its end, but my grandmother raised chickens forever. And they get after, chickens get you if you aren't careful. They'd peck you.
Do you have any other memories you could share with us?
Just that it was a good time. It was a good life. You know, you raised your own food, you tilled the soil, you plowed it, and you disked it. Then you planted, and you pulled the weeds. But you had a product in the end.
And the only product you actually sold was the corn?
And the milk.
Oh, the milk.
The milk. The milk went to Akron Pure Milk. But they bartered a lot with other farmers, too. You know, if Mr. Scobie needed corn, he came down and got corn, or if he needed some hay, he got hay, and then maybe the next year he had more hay than we had, and he had better corn than we had. So it was a close-knit life.
Okay, well, I'm done.
You're done?
Yep. Anything? Okay.